Good morning. My name is Jack Henderson. I will be your liturgist this morning. If you would, please, at the end of the pews, there are registration pads. If you are a guest with us this morning, we would certainly love to have your name and address, not so that we can pester you, but just so we'll have a record of who attended our services this morning. And we appreciate your presence here today. I hope you enjoy our worship experience. Just a few announcements. If you look at the back of your bulletin, of course, Vacation Bible School is starting tonight. So if you're registered or you're volunteering, we appreciate y'all and hope that it's a wonderful time for everyone. Sounds like it's a lot of work has gone into it and people are excited about the program. In addition to that, we have June worship. This next Sunday will be Mary's last Sunday. There will be a reception between the two services, and you're welcome to come and enjoy food and drinks and reminisce with Mary and tell some stories and whatever you want to do. It'll be a good fellowship time for everyone to come. Tonight we, excuse me, I'm looking at the wrong spot here, pardon me. Beyond that, I don't have a list of things today that we need. If you would look to the back of the bulletin for what's on the calendar for this week in our church life, you can see all that is going on. And if you would please stand and pass the peace of Christ. If you would please, Dr. Rustin Pierce is going to speak to us on the stewardship moment for just a few minutes. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Rustin Pierce, and I was invited to volunteer to participate in the stewardship 2019, and I surprised myself by saying yes. So the first question I asked myself, why is there an Asbury Church, and why do they need and deserve my support? Well, I began looking through a lot of the publications and trying to gather and list all the features of the church, the people and the programs, and made a list of them, and was surprised that each one of these essentially represented a mission of the church. And that list is in your bulletin. You can see that. And what struck me was the breadth of the Asbury footprint in our church family and in our community as well. So it seemed like, yes, this is impressive. I'm proud of that. The church deserves my support. So the second question is, how are you going to support it? Well, you'll look at the list that's in your bulletin. You'll find that they're divided into five separate groups. The list is not complete. I'm sure there's things that you could think of that probably would agree to go on to that list. But the list is divided into five. Does anybody recognize the five categories? Anybody? Okay, well, let me tell you that it is derived from our pledge that we provide every time we baptize a baby, and we get to do it today. We have a baptism today. So what is that pledge? I got it written down right here. It's on page 38 if you want to look it up. We renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of this church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. That last one has been added since our hymnals were published, but it may be even the most important witness. We will begin as part of the stewardship to have mission minutes. Each month we're going to talk about a facet of our church that may be less known to some of us, but strikingly important to the church family and the community at large. And so today we're going to talk about the Wally G. Prayer and Bible Study Group. And I have asked Mr. Larry Grace to come up and give a little summary. Thank you.
Thank you, Rustin. In my life, that's called being voluntold to do something. Good morning. I'm happy to be here to talk about the Wally G. Men's Bible Study. Now, kids, I'm going to do something that I would tell you not to do. I'm going to look at my iPhone during church. That's not a good thing, is it, Pastor Mary? But she's going to, because my memory is so bad, they're going to overlook that. So I've got some notes. It's been in place for about 20 years, formerly known as the Asbury Men's Bible Study. Upon the passing of Wally G., Wally was sort of our patriarch. We renamed the group the Wally G. Men's Bible Study. The primary objective of this group is to help men improve their relationship with God. I'm going to say that again. It's to help men improve their relationship with God. And it's also to help men understand, you know, everybody has a calling. It's not just the pastor and the music director and so forth. Everyone has a calling and a gift to serve in the world of Christ. So this is to help, also helps men find their ministry. About half of the participants are from Asbury. About half are from other churches. Six other churches are represented, and some don't have a church. This is a great witness, and they wouldn't have an opportunity to be in a Bible study were it not for this. We take up an offering. It's volunteering. It's volunteer, I guess is the right word, Rustin. And last year, the group gave $12,500 to various ministries around the Central Arkansas area. Most notably, about $2,500 went to the Methodist Family Foundation, which is a great thing. And another $2,500 or so in cash. Our Asbury has been very, very helpful and supportive for a number of years. We met in the smaller classroom just beyond where Robert Moore classroom is. We've grown. We have 25 or 30 guys here. So they've let us use the Robert Moore classroom. Cheryl helps greatly with the administrative things, keeping up. Pastor Doug comes and participates with us some. So what do we study? We study the Bible. We don't have a program text. We don't have videos. We simply go through the Bible. We read it in a group of several verses, and then we talk about it. It's led by Carl Cross as a facilitator, and retired pastor Joe Wilkerson is in there, and he helps us as well as Doug, as a pastoral support. It's a very open and engaging atmosphere. We speak freely. There are a lot of different views. We learn from each other. It's not critical. It's kept in confidence. So it's a unique opportunity many of you probably didn't know about that Asbury is involved with in enriching the lives of men and helping them serve our Creator. Thank you, Rustin. I'm sorry. I'm old. I'm forgetful. Wednesday evening, 6 o'clock, we typically have a meal. We rotate around the responsibility for bringing food. We'll eat together. We'll fellowship together. And then the study starts at 6:30. Thank you. He's got a better memory than me.
Thank you, Larry. As a member of that group, it has been a big part of my life in the last several years, certainly my understanding of the Bible and my commitment to the church and what it means to me and my family. So with that, I invite you to join me in the call to worship, if you would please stand. Oh God, you sing us a love song every time we gather, every time the bread is broken. Every time the cup is blessed,
O God, sing to us again.
Let our lives blossom in your love,
till the whole world knows
your love song. Please remain standing for our hymn of praise, number 374, Standing on the Promises.
Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God.
Won't you please be seated? It is my extreme pleasure to share with the congregation that I am probably doing my last baptism today as the senior pastor here at Asbury. So I invite you all to prepare yourselves for your very important involvement in this sacrament as you turn to page 44. And if the Jones family will come forward now. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is given to us without price. Today, Dusty and Jamie Jones present their daughter, Ava Marie Jones, for holy baptism. So I ask you, if you'll turn to me, Dusty and Jamie, this question. Will you nurture Ava in Christ's body, the church, that by your teaching and example, she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly and lead in a Christian life? And if you will, your response is, we will.
We will.
Let us pray. Most blessed Father, we give you thanks over this water you have provided and blessed through your Holy Spirit. We recall the baptism of Jesus Christ and the anointing of our Lord through your Spirit. We understand through our baptism, we grow to know Jesus and one day committed of our sin and become ready to proclaim him as our Savior. Pour out your Holy Spirit and bless Ava who receives this water now. May she be clothed in righteousness and grow in your love and grace. In Jesus' name, amen. And what name is given to this child?
Say her Ava name. Marie Jones.
Here we go. With the feet. Marie. Ava Marie Jones, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. May you grow to be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ, our Lord, now and forevermore. Amen. She let me get the amen in. Okay. Mama, I'm going to let you parade her up and down and let the congregation meet the newest member of the family of God. There you go. You want to walk up there with your sister? Show her how it's done. There you go. You can go too. Congregation, will you please stand in honor of Ava Marie Jones and be prepared to respond with the congregational response found on page 44. Members of the household of faith, I commend to your love and care Ava Marie Jones, whom this day we recognize as a member of the family of God. Will you endeavor so to live that she may grow in the knowledge and the love of God through Jesus Christ our Lord? Amen.
With God's help, we will so order our lives after the example of Christ that this child, surrounded by steadfast love, may be established in the faith, confirmed and strengthened in the way that leads to life eternal.
Let us pray. Most gracious Lord, we give you thanks for Ava's precious life and for her loving parents, Dusty and Jamie. Bless and keep them now and forevermore to your blessed peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You may be seated, and we have gifts for you from the church and her baptismal certificate. God love you. Love y'all so much.
Now it's time for our children's moments. If the children would come forward with Miss Laura, we'll have a good time.
What starts tonight? Okay, what starts tonight? There you go. Need a little bit more excitement. Well, this morning I brought a picture. I'm sure some of you have seen a picture. Look. So, how does a butterfly start? Eggs. Then it goes around to a caterpillar. And then the caterpillar turns into a chrysalis, which is in a cocoon. And then it comes up into a beautiful butterfly. And the reason why I brought that was, you know, it's interesting in the spring how God takes one thing, turns it into several things, and out comes a new life. Do you think that God takes the caterpillar, puts it in the chrysalis, kind of gives it whatever, and he paints it, and then it comes out something else? It comes out in a beautiful butterfly. How many butterflies have you seen lately? Have you seen a lot? I've seen some. I've seen a lot. And it wouldn't move. So there's a lot of butterflies. What does butterflies mean? You want to take a guess? For us, it means new life. And how do we have new life? Who do we need to accept into our hearts? Jesus. Jesus into our heart, and he gives us new life. Kind of like that caterpillar that goes through that process. So I want you to think about that as we go into the summer and as we're going into all of these, I know a lot of y'all are going camping and everywhere, beach, we're everywhere. So the next time you see a beautiful butterfly, I want you to think about the new life that caterpillar had and the new life that we have in Jesus Christ. But before we pray, someone in this area has a birthday today. Do you want to guess who it is? Who do you think in this area has a birthday today? Pastor Mary. Pastor Mary does. Do you think we could sing happy birthday to Pastor Mary? Okay, here we go. Here we go. 1, 2, 3.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Pastor Mary. Happy birthday to you.
All right, let's pray. Dear Lord, we just thank you for this beautiful weather. And we thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross so that we, like the butterfly, can become a new creation. We ask that you change us and to make us beautiful. In your Son's holy name we pray. Amen.
On the promises.
let you know that I don't have a formal prayer this morning, so what you get is what I can make up in my mind as I stand here. Anyway, please bow your heads. Almighty God, we are gathered here this morning to honor and praise you. The blessing in our lives as individuals and as a congregation will not happen without the richness of your love and grace. We ask that you look out for the people along the Arkansas River that are suffering from horrendous flooding and problems in their lives that creates. Be there to comfort them, to give them strength, and to show them that there are others who care as much and are willing to help and lead them to a better time. We also ask that you look after the people who are sick and disabled. Those listed in our bulletin are Clifford Smith, Larry Brown, Katie Southern Bridges, Pierce Blazer, Becky Flynn, and Theona James. Please look out for these people. Bless them and let your healing hand of comfort be upon their heads. We ask all this in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please join me in our offertory prayer. Father, today we want to give back to you a portion of the blessing you have bestowed upon us. We do this with love and thanksgiving in our hearts. Bless this offering and multiply it so that it may reach those who need help and who need to experience your love. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Please remain standing for our hymn of meditation, number 620 in your hymnal, One Bread, One Body.
Thank you. Won't you please be seated? Our scripture reading this morning is taken from 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verses 17 through 21. May the people of God be enriched in their lives as they hear this word of God, as recorded in 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. So we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We beseech you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The word of God for the people of God. You know, God has such a sense of humor. I mean, it was so nice of you. You've always been so supportive to kind of wing it this morning, because I'm winging it. Because as I've gotten older today, I forgot my glasses. These are Diana's. Diana, I may be older, but my eyes are better. Like, wow. But here's the thing. I'm going, okay, you're right, Mary. You changed purses. The glasses are in the other purse. And as I'm coming out of my office, I'm going, I have really, really tiny print in this. I'm doing a baptism. I'm doing communion liturgy. I need my glasses today. And then I remembered, as ditzy as she is, she has a thing of glasses all over this church. And so I went to her office desk, and thanks be to God were these glasses. And I'm so, literally, God answered my prayer. But God has always had a way of getting my attention in the most ironic ways, and yes, quite often in the most humorous ways. So I found it a little ironic that today, of all days, being my birthday, that I would also be offering my final Holy Communion to you as your senior pastor here. But really, it's all of our spiritual birthdays, amen? This is the gift to honor your life from God. This is your spiritual birthday gift. We celebrate, we receive, we reconcile, and we remember God through the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. That's what we celebrate today as we celebrate this Holy Communion. It was 1998. I was serving First United Methodist Church, Maumelle, at the time. It was Christmas Eve service. This particular Christmas Eve, the worship committee and I had decided we were going to do the sharing of the elements in a different way. So we were going to pass the trays and also pass the trays of bread one to another so that the full body of Christ would be sharing and sending forth God's Holy Communion through Jesus Christ. So, little Hannah was sitting next to her mother toward the front, and she had been listening very carefully to the communion liturgy. Eat this bread and remember me, Jesus said. I watched as little Hannah received her bread. She took her cup. She partook of both, and in a loud whisper said, "Mommy, is Jesus in me yet?" Out of the mouths of babes, that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Is Jesus in you yet? Is Jesus in me yet? So when Jesus held the Last Supper, it would be the final time that they would share this meal together. No doubt they were anticipating this special time. But Jesus had the greatest anticipation, for he was going to make this meal count. Every single word, every single gesture, every single deed, intent, meaning. Jesus had prepared this meal with purpose. Now, as he looked around the table, knowing Jesus, the Son of God, was all, knew all, he knew that there were people around the table who loved him. And he knew there were people around the table who didn't. Sometimes we share Holy Communion with people who don't particularly like us. Sometimes we share Holy Communion with people who cherish us. That is the way of life, the human frailty of life. So here was Judas sitting and sharing a meal with Jesus, about to betray him. And the opposite end of the spectrum was John, whom Jesus knew loved him so that Jesus felt confident that he could entrust at the base of the cross, seeing John, he could entrust his mother to his care. And then around the table he saw Peter, to whom he knew was the rock, the one who would lead the kingdom church. Each and every time, one of them had had a significant part in Jesus' ministry and life. He would miss them, and they would surely miss him. So Jesus served as the role of host, and he does so today at our table, at our altar. In the 23rd Psalm, we recall the line of that very comforting psalm, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." Table is translated to mesa. The good shepherd, of which Jesus also named himself, the good shepherd would go out and prepare the table, the mesa, for the pasturing sheep. He would add salts. He would clear debris. He would make sure that there were as few thorny bushes and briars as possible so that he could prepare an adequate and perfect grazing place for them. Jesus, who called himself the Good Shepherd, has prepared this table for his sheep, disciples, a table spread in his honor. The one who called himself Good Shepherd shares the goodness of God in his sacrifice. The meal was prepared. The guests, the disciples gathered, anticipating a wonderful evening. Then Jesus does the strangest thing, and we know this, but it's good to be reminded why he did this. He removes his cloak, his garment, puts it aside. He is still dressed in a loincloth. He grabs a towel, wraps it around his waist, ties it, girds it. He takes a basin of water, and he begins to go to each of the disciples who are seated. And he begins to rub ever so gently the dust and grit between their toes and off their feet as he washes their feet and pats them dry with a towel. He does this for each disciple. Yes, he does this for Judas, who does not love him enough to resist betraying him. He does this for John, the one he has that strong kinship to. He does this for Peter. He does this for each and every one, again, looking them in the eye and knowing where their heart, their life is going, and their part in the kingdom to come, their part that has made you and I to be a part of that discipleship of Jesus Christ. So here's what I know. You and I receive that same kind of grace every day. Jesus gives us grace even when we have said something unkind, when we have done something insensitive, when we have acted in unawareness. Jesus gives us that kind of grace with a multitude of other unrighteous deeds. So it is in this Holy Communion today we are reminded through Jesus' example on that Last Supper and the posture of a servant to be humble. That's not something we wake up every morning and think, gee, how can I be humble today? It's just not at the top of our list. But this meal, if nothing else, reminds us that we humbly accept the grace of Jesus Christ given in the sacrifice of his life and his belief in us. And we remember, as Jesus did so to Judas, that there is no one greater than another. We are all called to serve. No one is too small or too great to serve. To be reminded Jesus served a hater and a betrayer is a wake-up call to you and me. We are smug. We make people deserve our love. We judge. We give up. This man, Jesus, this Savior, reminds us no one is greater than another. And Jesus was able to do that because of a love which does not qualify. Thank you, God, that we didn't have to be sinless for you to love us. Thank you, God, that we don't have to be perfect for you to receive us. Thank you, God, over and over and over, that while we were yet sinners, the Word says, Christ died for us. And our Scripture says, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. He did this so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That's just too big for me to fathom. I'm not the righteousness of God. You're not the righteousness of God. Only in Christ are we made righteous, because we are not capable on our own. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. And secondly, through Christ we reconcile ourselves to one another. There's a great scene in a movie that I highly recommend for you to see, and it's an older movie. It's called Places in the Heart, and it stars Sally Field. Oh, you like me. You really like me. I believe that was her speech after winning the Academy Award for this particular. No, that was Norma Rae. Anyway, so it stars Sally Field and Danny Glover. And in the final scene of this movie, they're having Holy Communion. And what is so interesting in this scene is Sally Field's husband, who had been the sheriff, receives communion from the juvenile boy who accidentally shot and killed him. The juvenile boy is also sitting there. And he receives communion and offers communion to the deputies who shot him in retaliation. Danny Glover's character is sitting there, and he's receiving communion from those in the movie who had tried to lynch him. And on it goes as you see the lives of each and every one reconciled in only a way that they could through the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. No one is better than the other. Each is of greater value because of Jesus. We are reconciled to one another, and we are, because that was Jesus' intent of the cross. That we would become one in God through Christ Jesus, that we would become reconciled for whatever reasons, in the power and in the way of which we are unable to do on our own because of our sinful natures. And thirdly, in Jesus Christ, we remember the words of institution: take, eat, do this in remembrance of me. I believe these words of institution are telling us that Jesus remembers us. Jesus loves us as he deeply desires that we remember and love him. When Jesus takes the cup and says, drink this cup, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus is saying, remember, I lived, I died, and I was risen for you. I offer salvation to you. And it is through my blood you are cleansed and forgiven. I changed today's message title to Standing on the Table because of the anthem I made the choir sing. Because, don't you see, this table is the greatest promise upon which we stand upon. It is the greatest promise upon which our lives are built. This promise means you nor I will ever know life without God. Again, as I said before, the greatest gift you'll ever receive. So in the communion of Jesus Christ, we give thanks to God for receiving us, although we do not deserve it, reconciling us as the example of Christ to others, knowing that no one deserves being loved less. And his remembrance of each of us in love, hope, and sacrifice, that we might have the riches of salvation. Now, if you come by to visit me at some point in the next few days, you'll see an office that is pretty well cleaned out. Still have just a few minor things to pack. But again, God's sense of humor. In my desk drawer, kind of on the bottom, actually, because after 7 years, other things kind of went on top of it. But I received this my first week here at Asbury United Methodist Church, Carol Grace. She came by to visit me, introduce herself, and present me with this poem, The Asbury Difference. I won't share the entire poem, but I will share this verse. A family brought us a loaf of bread, inviting us to sit around the Asbury table and partake of the fellowship of believers, a fellowship held together by their love of Christ. That is the Asbury Difference. You bet. That is the Christian difference. To feast around the imaginary table that surrounds our conversations, our relationships, our world. We are becoming a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. Do you feel changed? Do you feel transformed? Do you feel renewed through Christ? I do. And you, my brothers and sisters, in this body of Christ named Asbury United Methodist Church have done that for me. So I want to share with you these words from another pastor. His name was Apostle Paul. I thank my God every time I remember you in all my ways for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Our Lord. Amen and amen. We'd invite the congregation to now prepare themselves as we enter into the sacrament of Holy Communion found on page 12. Hear this invitation. Christ our Lord invites us to his table, all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin, and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another as we join in this confession and pardon. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. Let us turn to the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna to the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna to the highest.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery of sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took the bread. He gave thanks unto you, and he broke the bread and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this as often as you eat it in remembrance of me." And after the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to God, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Drink this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this as often as you do in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood, by your Spirit. Make us one with Christ and one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your holy church, all honor and glory be yours now, Father, now and forevermore. Amen. In the United Methodist Church, we observe an open communion, which means you do not have to be a member of this church in order to receive the sacrament of Holy Communion. You will also notice that in the middle of the aisle that you will find this basket, which if you so feel desire to do so, may give an offering for the community assistance. And also, if you will let the communion steward know that you care for a gluten-free wafer, if you'll let that be known too. Come, let us feast on the goodness of God represented in the body and the blood of Christ. Let us pray together. Most loving and gracious God, you have offered your Son, Jesus Christ, to be the host of this feast of love and salvation. As we arise from this table, Lord, may we be nourished in your Holy Spirit, ready and prepared and committed to serve you in this world, now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing hymn today is "To God Be the Glory." Isn't that the truth? Let us stand and sing number 98. If there are those here today who would like to unite with this church in any of the ways we receive members, I would be delighted to receive you as we sing number 98. be in worship with you today. Thank you for celebrating my birth as we celebrate our rebirth in Jesus Christ. And I look forward to celebrating with you again next Sunday as we have our closing Sunday together as senior pastor and congregation. But please now receive this benediction. Oh God, your love is so great, we cannot begin to comprehend it. Your grace and your Son, Jesus Christ, so important that we can't imagine our lives without it. And your Spirit so alive that we cannot imagine navigating this life without it. May we go now in the love of God, the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the communion and fellowship of your Holy Spirit this day and forevermore. Amen.